All right.
You can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Gospel Show on this beautiful Sunday, May 29th, 2022, Memorial Day weekend. Six Eyes Radio Network, want to thank all the veterans out there, the men and women who served to keep our country safe. So we want to thank you from the Six Eyes Radio Network. How's everybody doing?
Doing great, Six. How are you doing?
Doing great, Ken. Doing great. See if I cannot get tongue-tied during the show. So I think I'll be able to do it. Oh, boy.
Yeah, are so you gotta, sure I'm not that big, bro?
Stay tuned. That's all I can
say. The country.
Yes. You caught that. Yeah.
The country.
So, going to have a great show as always. So hope everybody's doing well. I do have my coffee and honey bun. So we're going to have a great show. Just need an opening prayer. We'll get the show started, but want to say hello to our surrounding city and states and our faraway countries. Thank you. Thank you for listening. And
all right.
My cousin, Kimberly Hall. Happy birthday. And
right.
Alethea Hazel, happy birthday to you. She was on Always Bet on Black, our show we had, so happy birthday to her. Carmen Norwood, happy birthday to her. And anybody else celebrating a birthday, amen?
All right. Well, let's get started off with a word of prayer and our scripture reading. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day because you and you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, as we start this program, we turn it over to your keeping, Lord Jesus. In your care, we give the wheel to you, Lord Jesus, because we know, Lord Jesus, where you said in your word, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And we know, Lord Jesus, with all the countries and surrounding city and states, Lord Jesus, we know we more than qualify. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you to take the wheel of this program. Let that soul nearest hell. Help reel up the flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask, as always, for those who's dealing with COVID-19, first the family and friends who's lost someone due to COVID-19, that you comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, that you'd heal them and raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like George Floyd and these mass shootings, Lord Jesus, Lord, you got mail. We need to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right.
Amen. Now you was having a little stumble and blunder, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. We both need coffee, Six. All right.
Yeah, I got mine right here. About to have
here's
some.
Our scripture reading.
This is Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 10. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Be ye all, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. This was Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 10. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
All right. Amen. Amen. Great job, Emily. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. We're going to get into some music. And I want to thank the makers of Mucinex and Claritin. Whoever made that, thank you, because I am feeling a lot better. Amen. So we're going to get into some music. Dancing for Jesus.
God, you have never failed. You won't stop with me. You're present in every step. Patient in every heartache. God, you have never failed. You won't stop with me. Oh, oh, oh. Everybody run. Yeah.
go against what you say.
You're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show. If you just joined us, we're here. Phone lines are open, 424-243-9617. Bring a friend and shout out to our newest show on the Six Eyes Radio Network, AJ and the Squad. Great show Friday, guys. Make sure you follow the page, AJ and the Squad.
Just in the sand, please,
dance with you. You said you're the one, not you. I couldn't believe it. Like you weren't just passing by. No, you looked me in my eyes.
Amen.
And I found my paradise.
Walking by my side,
walking by my side,
only faith in Him. we find trouble. In the city life, it ain't hard to find trouble. No income in the home, you find struggle. 2 years struggling, it's no puzzle. He hit the block hard and found him a husband. He burnt the wrong bridge, and now we need money. He tried to let it go, but the streets don't forgive. Like if they ain't heard to live and let live. After going round and round, he broke it down. Money found out that only God can save him now.
You're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Has our pastor arrived yet?
Yes, he has. Amen. Pastor Bonnet, welcome.
All right. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. My request is Tasha Card Leonard. He knows my name.
All right. He knows your name, and the world knows your name. Kenneth Bonnet. All right.
Amen.
right, ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you our very own pastor, Kenneth Vonnet. Welcome, sir.
Thank you once again. God bless you, man of God, and all the people of God that's on the line and those that make up the Six Eyes Radio Network team. Bless each of you in your respectable places. It is a privilege and an honor to be with you all one more time. I know that y'all used to me saying that, but I mean that because anytime we can be used by God, it is a privilege and an honor because the devil wants to use us too. And many times when we are not submissive to the will of God, we're subject to the move of the devil and don't even know it. Amen. And so it is so important for us to stay focused, amen, to be focused on the things that God will have us to do. I want to bring a message today dealing with, in that same light, I know we've been talking about unity is necessary. And although the under subject line will be unity, us lining up with God, I want to really deal with about the decisions that we make. Amen. The Bible tells us that him that knoweth to do is right and choose to do wrong, to them it is sin. And so many times we do things in our lives that we know that is not right, but we do them based on feelings or emotions that we allow to have control at that moment of our lives instead of doing what we know according to the Word of God. And there's some dangers in that. And the subject matter is very big, so I'm going to just jump into it and make an attempt to finish this message on today. If I do, I do. If I don't, well, there's always the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. And we will pick up where we left off and carry on. But as for now, I want to make sure that we understand a principle. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, the word of the Lord reads, Ephesians 4 and 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Father God, as I journey into the word today, I pray for revelation of knowledge and understanding for not only this, your people, but myself also, Lord God, for you gave me this first. And I pray, Lord God, that we will line up with your word and apply it every day, walk with you. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Once again, I gave that as a kicker, but let's back up to the book of James. We're going to the gospel, St. John. Excuse me, I said James, but we're going to St. John, chapter 5. And we're going to read there in this 14th verse. And we're going to come back and visit this story, but we want to read this 14th verse in chapter 5 of St. John. It says, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. So number one, the man went to church, and it was at church the Lord found him again. Now, the Lord found him on the wayside. He found him out in the field. And the man went to church. But just because you go to church and participate in church activities, it is more important that you don't just go to church, but you become the church. Sometimes many people think that serving God means going to church. That statement, going to church is serving God, is a misunderstanding. We go to church for preparation of our service to God. It's like joining the army. You go to boot camp. You have training so that you will be a better soldier. And so those things that are those morning routines that they would do, it's preparing them for better service. Our coming together in a sanctuary is to prepare us for the service of God. And too often time we think that just because I went to church that one day that I don't serve God. And that's also the misunderstanding of the Sabbath to those that believe that, oh, you worship God on Saturday. Y'all folks that go to church on Sunday, y'all wrong. I beg to differ. Because every day is a day of worship. Every day is a day to honor God. Every day is a day to live a godly lifestyle. God did not create us just to live holy on one day for an hour or an hour and 30 minutes or however long your service lasts. No. That is not the truth, and it's far from it. And if your mentality is that way, stop it. It is flawed. You can't have a successful business if you only give it 1 hour and one day, 1 hour, and think it's going to be successful the other 7 days or the other 6 days. 24 hours. So we have to be careful how we perceive something. Many of us are struggling today in our faith walk with God because we don't understand the true preparation for worship. When I married my wife, she wanted to see me more than 1 hour one day. When I bought my home, it was meant for me to live in it for more than 1 hour, one day. Amen, somebody. So if your understanding is, I've done tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday, or I've tuned in to the Gospel Praise Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house, I got news for you. You're going to have to leave the house. You're going to have to leave the house one day, someday, because God didn't save you to stay in the house. God didn't deliver you to stay shut up. The Bible says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. How are you free and still bound in the house? So you're going to have to come outside. You're going to have to go beyond your porch, your driveway, your apartment complex. the property that you live on. You're going to have to move beyond that. Because the purpose of God saving you far supersedes you just being saved. If that was the case, he would save us and just take us away. But there's a purpose and a plan of God for the life that we live. So once again, I'm going to read for your hearing St. John chapter 5, verse 14. He said, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. In other words, you've been forgiven. You've been healed. You've been delivered. But obviously, he had some actions and maybe even some thought processes that had to line up with the word of God. Because he goes on and says, thou art made whole, sin no more. In other words, something transpired from the time that he was healed and delivered. And his actions were still that of a sinful nature. That when Jesus sees him again in the temple, at church. Yeah, you go in the church. Yes, you're doing church stuff. But it says, sin no more. Why shouldn't you sin no more? Lest a worse thing come upon thee. And so this man has been struggling for 30 plus years of his life. Anybody been going through something a long time? My goodness, if you've been going through something a long time and God deliver you, then don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to the place God delivered you from. Don't indulge in the things and the practices of those that are ungodly that will bring you back to a place God delivered you from. He told him, this is why, a worse thing. So if you thought it was bad before, a worse thing shall come unto thee. So let me give you what he's talking about. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we find Matthew chapter 12. Go to that 43rd verse there. Okay. The 43rd verse. Chapter 12 in the book of Matthew reads, those of you who have a printed Bible or King James Version of the Bible, this text should be printed in red, which signifies Christ is talking. As Christ is talking, we need to be listening. Christ says, excuse me, Christ says, when, that's a point of time, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, an unclean spirit, the unclean spirit are those things that cause you to disobey God. The unclean spirit is those things that connect you to things that you should not be doing. Let me give you a few cases in point. Say, like, well, I don't see the harm in smoking. Okay. On the package, there's a warning from the Surgeon General letting you know that smoking cigarette can cause cancer. and underlying health issues. And so you knowingly know that the actions that are being taken can cause your health to decline. But when you don't value the life that God is giving you, then you don't consider what that is really doing to your body. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Bible said, be ye sober. Talking about sober-minded. I know you said, well, I don't see nothing wrong with drinking a little something, especially if you drink at home. Okay, that's fine. But how do you know the damage that hard liquor could be causing your liver or the abundance of soft liquor? It may not be heavily alcoholic, but you're still drinking it heavily to the point that you're no longer sober. So who to know the damage that you're causing on your liver? But you're wondering why your health is declining. You're wondering why you don't are not able to get around and to do things that you want to do. Or could it be that you are not managing the vessel that God gave you? That applies to overeating and indulging in things that are not good for your body. I'm not saying you can't have junk food. I'm not saying that you can't eat a pizza here or there or whatever you want to eat. But are you mindful that your life is about fulfilling the purpose that God has for you? In Jeremiah, he said, I know my thoughts towards you, declares the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give you. You got to beg for it. And expect it in. That means there's a perfect will of God concerning your life. And when you don't realize there's a perfect will for God in your life, you'll give your life to the world, not realizing that you're giving the world your strength. I'm young. You don't understand. I just want to have a little fun. Well, if smoking weed and doing crack and or other illicit drugs is what you do for fun, then your definition of fun is flawed. How can you say you're enjoying life, but you have to take something to escape from it? If you got to have a beer when you leave work, that means you have put your dependency, your faith, on receiving your beer after work instead of trusting God for your peace. Oh, I know this is a hard message for many, but I'm going to preach the truth no matter what. Now, it's up to you as the individual to choose to do right. This is the day that the Lord has made. You have to choose to be glad and rejoice in it, to obey and follow his instruction in it. Your life belongs to you and is in your hand, but to whom you yield your body to serve, you are a servant too. And there are only two classifications of masters, good and evil, which is God and the devil. The devil is what God has called a worthy adversary. Why? Because he is relentless. He does not care about your plan. He has no problem with blessing you if you are assisting him in building his kingdom. See, things will work good for you when you are on the devil's side. He'll let things flow so long as you'll keep poisoning others with your misunderstanding of truth. He'll let you tell everybody, weed is from the earth. It's okay. So is dirt. Go out there and eat your grass and from the yard. Just because it came from the earth don't mean it's for you to eat. All the type of poisons have come from the earth. You don't see people out there eating grub worms like they're a mole. Okay, it's from the earth. No, you don't see that. But they'll sit there and sell you the story. Man, this is from Mother Earth. This is good for you. How so? Well, you ain't understanding, man. It take away my pain. Sorry. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. No, I'm not saying that you can't take modern medicine. I'm not saying that you can't take cold medicine. But pain is an indicator that something's wrong. And the medicine course adjustment to help you get back on track. Medicine should not be an ongoing thing. And I know some of us have some underlying medical issues that we got to take what they call maintenance drugs now. You have sugar diabetes, so you have to take a maintenance drug. You have a insulin deficiency where your kidneys are not producing the insulin that it's supposed to, and you have to take a shot here and there. But there are natural herbs to help balance and regulate all of that in your body. We don't seek those things. We seek a quick out. Some things are a matter of process. Your body didn't break down overnight. It took years of abuse. So you're not going to fix it overnight. Well, you don't understand, man. I'm struggling right now. I'm going through some things in my mind, man. And so, man, this helped me. That when you finish taking those drugs to escape reality, when you come back to normalcy, reality still is going to be here. So you've done yourself no justice. You did not help yourself. So stop it. At least going after the things of God moves you closer to your resolve. Even those that's grieving from the loss of a loved one. I know it's been said, you can't tell nobody how long to grieve and how hard to grieve, okay? But the Bible that I read, there's a time to mourn. And there's a time to rejoice. So, how do I get past my mourning state? I get past my mourning state, and I often thought about this. A very close person to me and my family that died was my grandmother. Full of wisdom. She's the reason I know how to cook and do so many other things. She's the reason I have the wisdom that I have. It was her prayers that saved my mother and introduced Christ into our lives. It is her guidance. So I love my grandmother. And when in her elderly years, I was there as a young in my young 20s to be there for her. And at the passing, the the night that she, I was going to visit her in the hospital, and out of the blue, I just, a heavy sleep that fell upon me. Heavy sleep. And I was sleeping. And she passed that night, and they told me her passing wasn't really easy. She had a difficult moment in her passing. And it could be because she was still thinking about her family that were dependent on her. Not for financial need, but for guidance. And maybe she didn't want to really leave because she was still worrying about us. But God knew that she had already done enough. God knew that she had already sowed the seed that was needful. God knew that she had already served her generation. Time for her suffering to be old. So he called her home. And I remember saying, Lord, why you let me go to sleep? I wasn't sleepy until it was time to go to see her. I wanted to be there for her last moment. And I remember the Lord telling me it wasn't good for you to be there. Didn't really process that right then. But on reflecting to that, it dawned on me the reason I was able to move in my grief concerning the passing of my mother, my grandmother, is because Every time I think of her passing, I don't see her death. I see her life. Glory to God. I see the time she cooked and baked cakes and cooked food. And I see the time that she chastised me. I see the time that she loved on me. I see the time that she took time to talk to me. Impart wisdom in me. The reason I was able to move beyond the grief because I didn't focus on death, and death make you focus on pain. But when you focus on somebody's life, you focus on what they gave to the world, and what she gave to the world was worthy. It was worthy of remembrance. It was worthy of praise because it was uplifting. And many people that are grieving today, they're grieving because they're focused on the death. But when you focus on that pain, that person has no more pain, you can move beyond that. And that's why it's so important to stop sinning. Because a worse thing can happen to you. This is what this scripture says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a person, he walketh through dry places. He who? The unclean spirit. See, operate in the world. But they cannot operate in the world without a body. They need your participation. They need your submission. So when an unclean spirit is gone out of a person, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. He has no rest. He has no peace now because he can't do nothing now. And he findeth none. Then he say, I will return unto my house. That unclean spirit hath called your vessel their home. So it raised the question, what spirit can call your body their home? See, where I am right now, I can call this my home because this is where I pay my mortgage. Mm-hmm. If you go down to the deed office, you're going to see my name on the deed. You go to the clerk's office, you're going to see my name under the deed, along with the lender. Because we are co-owners until I pay the lender all the way off, then it will be mine by myself. But now, if I fail to pay the lender, he can foreclose on the deed. Because I'm not giving him what he deserves, what's required. So that unclean spirit, he walk around in dry places seeking rest. In seeking rest, he finds no rest. In other words, he didn't find nobody else to go and merge with. And so he finds that there are some other spirits, they seeking somebody, they seeking rest too. And he remember that, hey, person just got delivered from me. But if they didn't fill their vessel with the Spirit of God, if they didn't fill their vessel with the Word of God, then their vessel is still empty. This in the text, y'all. It is still empty. Because they didn't fill it. Church, but they didn't fill themselves with the Holy Spirit. Preach me happy, preacher. No, give me something to live by. Why? Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I ain't concerned about what I can eat as much as what I can put inside me spiritually so that no unclean spirit can come and dwell therein. I know there's a whole lot of teaching around this matter, but this is what the text says. So if you take the text literally, it's literally saying to you that when you are delivered by from an unclean spirit, that spirit will go around looking for rest. And that spirit to himself, I'm going to go back where I came from. So you think your old boyfriend wanted you? Nah, that old spirit of lust wants you. But that old spirit of fighting wants you. You're wondering why you're still attracting the same type of knuckleheads. That's because that same old spirit want you. Because you didn't fill yourself with the Spirit of God to the point where they say, can't go there. How do I know that? The Bible says that the sons of God was coming up to the Lord, making a report, and Jesus and Satan was in the midst of them, and the Lord said to Satan, where have you been? He said, I've been going to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone worthy of me. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? God, wait a minute, to the devil. Yo, you looking for somebody to tempt? Are you looking for somebody to try to mess up? Yeah, here go my guy. Here he is, Job. And the devil said, do Job want for anything? No. You done blessed Job And not only have you blessed Job with everything, but there's such an anointing around Job's life. There's a head. I can't get beyond the boundary to get close enough to Job to do something. But if you, God, will push him, will shove him, hurt him, he'll curse you. And the Lord said, well, I ain't going to do it, because that ain't me. That's not my nature. So that's why the Bible said, let no man say he's tempted. He's tempted of God, but he's tempted of his own lust and is led astray. Because God does not tempt man with evil. He said, I'm going to let you do what you want to do, but you can't touch his life. See, when you know that your life is in the hand of God, then you don't worry about Corona 19, the flu, chicken pox, measles. Don't mean you don't take preventive measure of taking vaccines so that you can be healthy enough that should you come in contact with the disease, your body is able to fight it off. But you are focused on, my God, shall supply all of my needs. How many? All. The problem is we have confused our needs with our wants. You think about your prayer. You're praying, Lord, what I need. You're praying, Lord, I need this, and it ain't your need. For me to be praying for food and my refrigerator is full of food. My cabinet are full of food. My pantry, I don't have a pantry, but your pantry has food in it. That is not a prayer. It's a wasted prayer because that's already done. So now is what you want. See, you're praying for steak. But you got bologna in the refrigerator. So now it comes down to being satisfied where God have you. Nothing wrong with you desiring to be better. But when God gives you better, then you do better. You strive for it. You plan for it. You work towards it. So we go back to the text, back to the text, back to the text. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 reads again, when, that's a point of time, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he said, I, the unclean spirit, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty. The devil comes back to tempt you, and he finds that you have no word in you. God delivered you, but you ain't got no word of God in you to understand the benefit of his deliverance. The benefit of being saved. You don't have no scripture to stand on. And that's why good people, Christian folk, that say they love the Lord, fall. Because you don't stand on the word. You don't read the scripture that says, finally, my brethren, having done all you can do to stand. He don't give us an out. He says, stand. Stand, therefore, in the liberty of Christ. He don't give us an out because he gives our out. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. We are already free. The devil is throwing illusion. Because the only way he can defeat a born-again child of God is for the child of God to surrender. The only way he can overcome me is for me to let him in. Remember the old movies. I remember the old movies a long time ago. There was a movie about lost boys. That was the title of it, Lost Boys. I'm not going to go to the characters' names and all of this. And the movie dealt with vampires. And there was one family that knew that they exist, and they were fighting against them, and they knew how to protect their home, and they knew not to invite them in. And there were four of those boys, I think it was three or four of them, that was going around doing vampire stuff. Mm-hmm. And they tried to get into this one house, but this one house was resistant to them. Mm-hmm. But what wasn't known was them four boys had a daddy. Mm-hmm. Chief of the vampires, uh-huh. And the daddy he didn't walk around in a red jumpsuit with a tail and a pitchfork with some horns sticking out his head. Actually, I think he was a teacher of some kind or something or another. He was appearing to be good. The Bible said that the devil appears as an angel of light. And so when people coming to you and telling you it's all right to get drunk in your own house, mm-hmm, that's the appearance of light. Mm-hmm. And when they tell you it's all right to smoke a little bit because it's on the earth, that's the appearance of light. Uh-huh. But it's not light. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Jesus said, I am the true light. In other words, there's some false light out there. Be careful. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so the lady is standing there. She's resisting them, and they can't come in, and they mad. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. And it's a familiar face, one that she did not connect the dot to. She did not know him to be an evil person because she looked at the job that he had and deemed it good. And he stood at the door, and he would not come in. And you had to pay attention to the movie that he was talking to her, and he didn't ask her to come in. He just stood there. Because the rule of it was he had to be invited in. And finally she says to him something to the effect of, why are you just standing there? Come on in. And as he walked through the door, his smile transformed. He began to smile with her with what I would describe as more of a lustful and conniving smile. It was one of not just happy to be in, but, oh, I got you now. And so now his smile has changed, and she turns to him, and she recognizes that now he's starting to grin. And he began to explain to her that he tried to control his boys, but boys would be boys. And he confessed to her who he is. Many of us have invited the devil into our lives. You know, friends that have bad behavior. And instead of you bringing correction to it, you accept it and you sit down and talk with them and you carry on with them and you sympathize with them. Mm-hmm. You know that homosexuality is wrong and against the will of God for mankind, but you sympathize with them and you tell them it's okay, that God will understand. Mm-hmm. And you listen to them talking about how they feel, and you sympathize with how they feel, and you tell them it's okay, but you represent God. So if you represent God, your opinion does not matter, only the word of God. If you came to me and say, Prophet Bonnie, I'm gay, I'm this, and but I'm a good person, hard, this and that, and what say you? I'm going to say to you, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to please God, or are you trying to please yourself? That's going to be my first question. Because if you're trying to please God, then there's a set of rules that God has already given. But if you're trying to please yourself, I'm going to just ask you, are you happy with you? And if you say yes, that's the end of the conversation. If you say no, then I'm going to say, what should you be doing better? Might I suggest that you read the Bible? Might I suggest that you follow some of the instructions? Matthew 6 and 33, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So if you feel like there's a void in your life, you feel like there's some missing parts in your life, maybe you haven't sought God. Well, I pray, but have you sought him? Well, I pray, have you? There's a difference from praying and seeking. See, your prayer can be vague because you're just putting out a wish list. And that's the misunderstanding of prayer. We think prayer is about telling God what we want. We forgot that prayer is truly a petition. God is a king. His kingdom has order. And because his kingdom has order, when I pray to God, I go to God concerning the order he set. Prayer is a legal petition because I'm a legal citizen of the kingdom of God. So I have legal right to bring an occasion for him to deal with. And I can say to him, according to articles, this and this, and this is happening to me, Lord, you said in your word, you will supply all. And I've done my part. Now God answers. Part is me listening because he gives instruction. My way out deals with me paying attention to what he says and how he says it. This is the unity. The unity is being connected with him to do his will. That's why the template of prayer is, when you pray, pray, our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy as it is in heaven. That's establishment. Give us this day our daily bread. That's not just food. That's all that you need to learn. Please turn your phone off. All that you learn, all that you're going to get, that you may develop and grow so that you will have all that you need from the Lord. See, you may not get all you need from the Lord when you don't know what the Lord has prepared for you. Things is a matter of you moving first. He told Abram, get thee out thy father's house and go to a place I shall show you. He didn't give him everything up front. He didn't show him everything up front. He didn't tell him everything up front. He had to move towards the direction in order to see what was going to transpire. Most of us, we want God to tell us the whole plan. Nope. Because if he tells us the whole plan, number one, we can't handle the whole plan. Number two, we're not going to remember the whole plan. And number three, we won't follow the plan in order. That's right. We'll want to put two before three, three after five. We'll start out right, but we'll finish wrong. And so that's the difference between letting God lead your life and you being master of your own fate. Once again, back to the text. I'm trying to stay with the text, Mr. Ken. I'm trying to stay in it. Then got excited all about this. Verse 44, in chapter 12 of the book of Matthew says, then he said, I will return to my house. He done claimed you. Devil done claimed you. And if you are doing wrong, you give him legal right to claim you. If you're not obeying God, you give him a legal right to make a claim in your life because you invited him. It's hard for me to pray for your healing and for God to deliver you when you're doing things that cause your illness. I'm going to say it one more time. I ain't afraid. I already read the text. We'll read it again in a little bit from John chapter 5, verse 14, where he told him to stop sinning. So we want to read carefully what the Lord has said. The Lord told him to stop sinning. Let a worse thing happen. In other words, how will it become worse? Well, I'm glad to ask, how will it become worse? This is what he says. He said, then he said, I will return to my house from whence I come out. And he is come, he find it and garnish. God don't deal with no mess. He cleans you up. When God cleans you up, he get rid of all the filth. But now you got to allow the word to come in. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. Because living this life without the Holy Ghost, we not going to make it. We need the Holy Ghost to bring correction on a daily basis. Let me keep on reading. Verse 45. Then goeth he, taketh with himself. Listen to this, Brother Charles. He take with himself seven other spirits. Now, he is spirit, and his desire is to control the vessel that he lives in. But he was cast out because he was unclean. And because he was unclean, he had a house, and his house was messy. You ever seen somebody do stuff and you say, ooh, you're so messy? Ooh, that was trifling. Uh-huh. That's an unclean spirit. I ain't saying you just saying it out of joking. I'm talking about for real. You say, oh, that's just a mess right there. That's an unclean spirit. And says, then he go and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. In other words, he go get some strong help. The devil knows the power of unity. The devil knows the power of unity. So here it is, you once was delivered, but when you don't consume the word of God, the devil don't just attack you by himself. He takes with him seven. That's eight spirits in you, at least. And so at least eight spirits in you, spirits in you, that's worse than the one spirit that was leading your life. The one spirit that had you discombobulated. The one spirit that had you questioning life. Now, here it is, you got eight of them to deal with. And the other seven is worse than the one. Here's the thing that you have to understand. The only reason why this happened is because you, sir, you, ma'am, when we don't allow the word of God to penetrate our heart, our mind, and to consume him, then that's what dwells. There's nothing dwelling on the inside of us. There's nothing. When the word of God is not in you, even though you once knew it. If you're not applying it now, if you're not utilizing it now, and you allow a lying spirit to come and say this and that, and you believe that lying spirit, and you invite that spirit in, spirit brings with himself other spirits. And the purpose of them bringing those other spirits is to mislead you, to misguide you, so that you will miss the promises of God in your life. And the reason why you're struggling with some things now is because you believe the lie. And that lying spirit have you deceived. The Bible said the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your blessing. He wants to kill your hope. And most of all, he wants to destroy your influence. And so he calls you to do things that bring shame upon you. And the thing that you once was embracing, now you refrain from it because of shame, because you fail, because you made a mistake. And you don't know how to pick yourself back up. And you don't know how to just say, hey, I was wrong. And you don't know how to own up to it and say, I made that decision. But I make a new decision today because there's life in me today. And yesterday, yes, I submitted to the devil. But I belong to God. And because I belong to God, I'm renouncing all unclean spirits. I renounce you now. You lying spirit. You thieving spirit. You drunken spirit. You smoking spirit. You false demonic spirit. You sexual immorality spirit. Every unclean spirit that has abided in me, I renounce you now in the name of Jesus. I belong to God. I belong to God, and my vessel will not be used to do unclean acts in the world because I belong to God who is holy and righteous. And his word says, be ye holy as your heavenly Father is also holy. And so because my Father in heaven is holy, so shall I be holy. I'm going to stand on the word of God, the truth of God. Glory to God. And you make this stand. And let me read the rest of the text. Let me read the rest of the text. The rest of the text says, then he goes and take with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in. They enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man or person is worse than the first. Is that when he was in the world, didn't know God? For you to say you know God and your lifestyle is worse. If you didn't do it before you knew God, and now that you're doing it, that you know God, because somebody else said it was okay, you have allowed spirits to come in. And I encourage you today to renounce those spirits. Renounce them. Don't be afraid. Say, Lord, I've sinned, and I sinned against thee. And because of grace, I have the right to ask for forgiveness. And I ask you to forgive me from all unrighteousness. For you promised in your word that if I will be faithful and to ask for forgiveness, that you will be faithful, excuse me, you will be faithful and forgive me from all unrighteousness and cleanse me. And so, God, I receive the atonement of Christ. And I receive the washing of the blood of Christ that washes me and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. spiritually baptize me again. Wash me from the filth. Wash me from the foolishness. Wash me from the falseness. Purify my heart. Create in me a new heart. Renew a right spirit within me, that I will walk upright before you, God, and I will fulfill the purpose that you have for my life and be the best version of myself that I possibly can be. With your guidance, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and it is so, and it is so. I claim it by faith. Amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to know first and foremost, God has forgiven you. If you ask God, if you announce what, if you renounce your sin, I want you to know, I don't care how grave it is, God has forgiven you. If you told God that you've done wrong and you want to be right, then God has forgiven you. He said in his word, if we draw close to him, he'll draw close to us. He said if we ask for forgiveness, he will forgive us and cleanse us. Now all you got to do is ask for the Holy Spirit to come the more in your vessel, so that when those unclean spirits try to come again, they won't find your house empty, but they'll find it filled with the presence of God. And understand this, it's physics. Light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place at the same time. Light illuminates everything. And so long as you do not put a shade up, you don't have to worry about no shadows. In other words, don't build on something that ain't true. And the word of God will illuminate truth in your life. But you have to accept the truth for what it is. Make the conscious decision that truth is truth no matter who it applies to. If you make a mistake, we all made mistakes. If you done wrong, we've all done wrong. You are not the first person to say you love the Lord and make a mistake. Even if you understand the mistake that you made and you knew better, understand that you knew better. And because you knew better, that's all right. Today, you're going to do better. You're going to do better because you're making a conscious decision to say yes to God. Yes, Lord. Yes to your way. Yes to your will. Yes to trusting you. Yes to obeying you. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. And understand that no matter what you're thinking that your life should be, God knows what you can handle and what you can't handle. He knows the strength and your weaknesses. And guess what? There was nothing that I did that lifted God up. So therefore, I can't let God down. God was already up. He was already on high. Long before my existence was a thought of being existed, he was on high. So I can't fail God, because he's not lifted up because of me. He's lifted up because he's already up. So get that out your head. I say, oh, God. I just say, oh, God. Understand this. God knew you were going to do it. Here's my proof. In the night in which Jesus was betrayed, and we're coming up on Pentecost Sunday, and so we're talking about Christ again, death, burial, resurrection, and we're talking about the unity of them, that they were silent together on one accord in one place, and the Spirit of the Lord came in. But before that, Peter had just made a proclamation, thou art the Christ, the anointed one of God. And Jesus said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you. So God is not a man of flesh and blood, but he is also the Spirit. He said, but my Father, which is in heaven. He said, thou art a rock. He called him Peter. Upon this revelation that he is the Christ, he said, I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means all the demonic forces that will come against, everything that rejects who God is and following his leadership, shall not come against who Christ is. Christ is who he is, regardless to what any atheist say, what any agnostic says, and any other false teacher may conjure up. Christ is who he is. And what he is a redeemer of mankind. And what he desires is to redeem you and I. But he can't make us, and he won't. It must be a conscious decision. It must be one that you participate in, because your faith unlocks this door. It's unlocked the door to give you everlasting life unto salvation, not everlasting death to damnation. Faith. Faith. Faith in his blood is enough. It's not about how righteous you can be. But it's not an excuse for us not to be righteous. But it's not predicated on that. It's predicated putting our whole faith in him and him alone. And many teachings, Christ is teaching us to walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says here, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So not just that man, it's not just one person, but a generation of people. And we have a generation of people that have believed that they were born in the wrong sexual body. We have a generation of people believe that the heart wants what the heart wants and it's okay. We have a generation of people that believe so many wrong things. And because everybody's trying to be politically correct, we give an acceptance to it. But here's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying to you, We're to be nice to everybody. We're to be kind to everybody. Everybody deserves freedom and equality. Equality that gives them the right to pursue their happiness and career. But when your happiness or your career violates my God-given rights, then you don't have that right, because you cannot remove the landmarks that God has established. There's some landmarks that God has established, such as marriage. God established the landmark of marriage, and it was confirmed by Adam, who had complete authority before his fall. We read it there in Genesis. When he received Eve, he was blown away. Whoa, man. He was blown away. And he spoke to her and said, "For this cause shall a man leave both father and mother and cleave to his own wife." So he established that the two should be one flesh, because she was taken from him. And so they had to work together, learning how to be subject one to another under leadership. And the husband loves his wife, and the wife reverences her husband. Nowadays, we are trying to turn that around. The Bible said that the man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and attain favor with the Lord. He didn't say the man that findeth a woman. He said the man that findeth a wife. The woman is classified as a wife by gender. But to be a wife means she must want to be subject and respectful to her own husband. And if she don't have that in her, she's not ready to be a wife. So when the man finds that, who's ready to bring in a new generation, who's ready to fulfill their God-given purpose together, to be one, then and only then shall that favor of God be granted. But there's no prayers to the man that finds a man, or to the woman that finds another woman. Nowhere in Scripture. Therefore, there's no blessing for it. And say what you will, this is not a message of hate. This is a message of correction. For God to accept it now, he would need to bring every lost soul from Sodom and Gomorrah back to life and give them another chance to live. He, God, will have to repent, because if he made it good now, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I'm quite sure he knew what he was going to do. So therefore, it's not okay. Therefore, it is not right in the sight of God. True, you can do what you want to do. True, you can pick and choose whom you want. That's true. But that don't mean that God has to bless it at all. And so when you start needing prayer, the Bible talks about the day of calamity, that how God will laugh at it when you turn to him. And so those of you that think you're smarter than God, those of you that think that the preachers got it wrong, I'm just saying to you, be careful. that God don't laugh at you. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share with you. There's so much more I really have to add to this, but I think it's good to make this a point to stop at. I've exhausted most of the time on the radio already. We have our blood handle scripture coming up, and want to give this last minute of the program to that cause. But I pray that you receive what I said today. And if you find yourself in error, here's the good thing. You don't have to stay in error. Ask God to forgive you, and he will. And turn. You know the beautiful things about GPS now? If you were following it and you miss your turn, that thing say recalculating, recalculating, and then the little voice will come out and say, in so many feet, make a U-turn. When safe to make, it begins to speak to you on how to make a course adjustment. Now that GPS, God himself has a global system. It's his word, the Holy Bible. If we follow it, we'll make it to I expect an end. That's that destination. God bless you. God keep you. And may he smile upon you in Jesus' name. Thank you. Missionary Ken or Brother Six is back in your gentleman's hand.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for that beautiful message. If you could send a quick prayer to the families of the Robb Elementary School shootings, for their families, for strength and comfort at this difficult time, and for the Buffalo shootings, just mankind as a whole, but specifically for those 19 students that perished and the two teachers, because that's rough. So we just want to send prayers from the Six Eyes Radio Network for comfort.
Amen. We're in troubled times. And this is why it's so important for us not to believe lies. The person that would take an innocent life has definitely been deceived. There's no justification, none, of any kind, for someone to take the lives of innocent students, whether it was 1 or 19. No teachers, whether one teacher, two teachers, doesn't matter. When you take the life of someone that's learning, working, there's something demonic that has possessed you to do that. And that is because you had an unclean spirit in you. And that unclean spirit simply want destruction. And so it leaves in the wake those that have to endure your actions. And we that are left behind, we're trying to find just cause, this, that, trying to bring peace, resolution. There is no, apart from Christ, there is no resolution. The moment that we made it publicly, that prayer was taken from school, we accepted that everything else would go to school. And so year after year, we found ourselves dealing with horror stories like this. And there are so many preparations to prevent it. But still there's some that get through the gap. And so, yes, we're praying for the peace of those families, because there's no peace to understand why a person would take an innocent life. There's no understanding. I don't care about you being a racist and you killed all black folks. There's no understanding to it. Life is life. If you can have compassion for a lost dog or a cat, how much more should you have for a human life that's made in the image and likeness of God? I'm so glad that the scripture doesn't say color. That means, for as we know, he can be valid. So my prayers for those that are hurting and grieving is, number one, they don't seek out physical retribution, that they don't destroy themselves for trying to find some type of justice, but they will allow the systems that be work to make change and to make the change for better. My prayer is that we will awaken to the actions like these and recognize the signs that show up before these actions are taken, and that we would do something about it to see that it doesn't take place. So my prayers are for the peace that surpasses all understanding, that is Jehovah Shalom, that he will be with those families while they're going through their grieving process, that he will help them to mourn in the right direction, and he will provide for them what they need to keep on keeping on. So many families, so many different needs. But God is able to do all, and he's able to meet them where they are. So I pray for the Spirit of God to bring comfort to them in the midst of things that are uncomfortable. And God, as you do that for them, that will allow you, we say thank you. We thank you, and we receive your output in our lives on the things that we can do that will be preventive measures to keep things like that from happening again. And we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I have a kind of a takeaway on the message today. You were talking about the empty, swept, and garnished. Well, not only were they empty, you notice it said they were swept, Pastor Bonnet. Now, when was the last time that you ever swept your clothes to clean them? See, that's the point. They swept everything, all the loose little sins and everything away, and all the junk, but they weren't washed in the blood. That's why the unclean spirit was able to come back, because they were only swept. And then after they swept, they garnished. They had a nice little grotto with a statue of Mary in the front yard. Or they had their rosary beads, or they had pictures of Jesus on the wall and a cross around their neck or whatever, and they were garnished. But like I said, they were, as you pointed out, they were empty, and they were swept, and they were garnished, but they were not washed in the blood. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, I guess I should have gave a more clear, more definition on garnish too. Garnish is to put in order or to arrange to make ready or prepare. But all of those are human efforts. And I'm going to stop right there because I'll preach all over again.
Tomorrow, Motivational Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, 8 Central. Motivational Monday, 424-243-9617. And I am sounding a lot better. Man.
Yeah, you do a lot better.
Amen to that.
Hey, here's the squad.
Amen. Definitely sound better.
Oh, my
God. Amen.
Better.
Amen. Anybody else have a takeaway? Thank you, Mr. Ken, for that. Anybody else have a takeaway? Say who you are, give your takeaway, or if you have.
This is our newest show on the Six Eyes Radio Network, AJ. But I shouted y'all out earlier. I don't know if y'all was here.
Yeah, I've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Okay.
Check. We be here. You know how we do.
All right. Yes. So, tell everybody about your show, and then give your takeaways. I'm going back to my coffee.
You need tea, not coffee.
Yes.
We got the coffee club going on around here. We got the coffee.
Yeah, gotta get y'all cups. Cups.
Mm-hmm.
Our cups running over.
Absolutely. Just take a quick minute. Please come join us on Fridays at 9 p.m. AJ and the Squad on 6 Eyes Radio Network.
This is Queen from the AJ and the Squad Friday Night Show. We're looking forward for you coming in and talking to us and sharing what you have to know, as we will share with you what we have to know.
All right, AJ and the Squad, God bless you all. All right. Well, I pray that you enjoyed the message and something was said to encourage you and something that you can go back and use to help others.
All right, this is Unshakable from AJ and the Squad on Friday night. Come check us out. Check, check.
All right.
Amen. This is Evangelist Clayton from AJ and the Squad on 6 Eyes Radio Friday night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Please come and check us out. But to comment on the word today, amen, truly the word was a blessed word today. Amen. Anointed, amen, and appointed God upon his word. And I heard you talk about the God that we serve is the mighty God, and that God does not, I mean, his book lets us know in the book of Leviticus. And I'm like you, Pastor, you know, that will make me go, hey, I'm right there. But then he just explains himself in the book of Leviticus. He didn't make woman for woman and man for man. But what you do is your business, and how you do it is your business. Amen. But right is right and wrong is wrong. And when we learn better, we do better. Amen. And all we have to do is ask him. It's not a hard thing. Ask and it shall be, seek and we shall, and knock and it shall be open unto thee. God will open that window of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing you have room not to contain. And I'm just grateful for the message today. It's always good to eat from the table where the fountain is sealed and running over. Again, thank you for the message today, Pastor. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so very much. Amen. Encouraging. Just for our new listeners, one of the reasons why we ask for takeaways, and it's not that we're trying to put anybody on the spot, but how many times have you gone to church and you experienced the worship experience and everything, and you get on the outside of the church and you meet somebody and you tell them you was at church or you go out to eat or whatever, and they say, oh, y'all just came from church? Yeah, we had a good time. Oh, okay, all right. What did your pastor speak on? And your mind went blank. And everything that you strong, your mind, you can't even relate. You didn't know. And you start thinking about the sound, but the words don't come.
That's right.
And so it's so important. It's so important. One of the things, if you are in the SWAT, if you're in the military, before you go out to battle, you check to make sure you have your weapon and the ammunition to go with the weapon.
That's right.
We went to church and we done got equipped with the Word of God. We should not leave church without the equipment.
That's right.
Amen. You don't go to work and have a job that needs equipment and show up to the job site with no equipment.
You know,
you tell me you a carpenter and I hired you to build my stairs, and you show up and you have no wood, no nails, and no helmet. Now, I'm going to just think that you were just coming to see, because you showed up wasn't coming to work. And it's time out for us coming to see. It's time for us to go to work. That's why Jesus said, pray unto the Lord of the harvest to send laborers in the vineyard. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Yes, go ahead.
So if we get you to repeat some things right then while it's fresh on your mind, what it does is it gives you that pin mark so that you can recall more of what was discussed easier. Because you may leave this scene and a phone call may come, or you may come across somebody that's in need of something you just heard.
Yeah.
Some things not about us. Sometimes some things are for us to pass on. Amen. And so we have to be ready. And when you are equipped, you are able to do that. Amen. And so, all right.
I also had a takeaway also. You talked about asking him to forgive you for your sins. And true, he will forgive you. And he will forgive you a few times. But if you are comfortable in your sin and you're not seriously repenting, then that's really doing you no good to even talk to him about it. When you go repent to him, you have to be sincere in it, and you have to be ready to be removed from it. You can't keep going back to it and then keep going asking him to forgive you, because it's not going to keep happening for you.
Well, you will meet the consequences of your actions. Much like a parent. If my child do this wrong and I don't talk to them, at some point they're saying, I'm sorry. And some people, they're not sorry for what they've done. They're sorry that they got caught. They're sorry that they got exposed. So they didn't truly repent.
Right.
The word repentance starts with the word we.
And
so it don't mean for us to redo wrong. The word repentance has to do with mindset, your thought process. So what repentance means is to rethink how you think.
Right.
And so a lot of people don't understand the real definition of the word repentance. Repentance is your inner mind to think on that level. It's, in other words, not thinking about what you say. Now, think about how you think and how you process. So that's the inner man, what we call the subconscious. So repentance, true repentance, comes from the subconscious area. That means you have recognized that what you've done is in error. And although you may have an addiction or struggle in that area, you're godly, sorrowful for that behavior, and you desperately want to change, because you realize his word is different. And so he'll forgive you. He will forgive you when you repent.
Mm-hmm.
Not when you say, I'm sorry. There is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's got the background there, if you're not talking, please put yourself on mute.
Thank you. Amen. Come on, Ken, with the bloodhound of scripture, and let somebody else have a takeaway that they like to share. And thank you. I'm not sure who that was. Sound like one of the ladies from AJ and the squad. I think that was the one that said check. A checker?
No,
amen.
Sir, that was
so,
the queen.
That was the queen, okay.
Yes, sir.
See, got to learn the voices, that's all right. I tell people all the time, there's two names I need to know. Only two. I don't need to know my children's name. I don't need to know my mama name. My mama name, my daddy name, daddy. My children's name, boy and girl. But there's two names that I need to know. That's Jesus and Lakeisha.
The name,
who
Jesus.
Is Lakeisha? Lakeisha is my wife. See, if I forget Jesus' name, I don't have peace. But sure enough, if I forget Lakeisha's name, there will be
no peace. You definitely
got no peace. There's only two people. I really have to zoom in or focus on 100% of the time. This whole 7. 300 and, look,
that's
66
right.
Days. So we gonna count leap year.
It's a leap year every month.
Amen.
So we'll keep that right. Amen. Anybody else? Hey, Sister Emily.
How is my favorite adopted dad today?
I'm doing wonderful. Fantastic.
Just to let you know, I'm going to put it to you this way, the way Missionary Ken would tell people, if the message smacked you with a couple of bricks, you should have had your hard hat and steel-toed boots on. I think I forgot mine today.
That's all right. Just soften you up. You'll be ready the next time. You will be ready the next time.
Yeah, your brakes hurt because you must throw them pretty hard.
Well, I, as I often say, I didn't come aiming at you, but if I hit you, I didn't mean to miss you.
Can I ask, was that Queen from the squad I heard out there today?
Yes, ma'am. It's me. How you doing?
Hey, Queen, can you do me a favor there?
What's that?
Do me a favor and let me come hide with you so Missionary Ken don't work me over today.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime.
I'm only kidding. I'm going over to do his lawn for him today. So.
You doing okay?
Well, just doing a lot of praying that a door will open for a home for me because right now I have no home.
Okay. Well, you know, God works things out. He's got you.
Mm-hmm.
And when
He's
he blesses, it's
going
to be absolutely beautiful. You ain't going to know what to do with yourself. Then you have to invite all of us over.
Well, all right. Well, speaking of homes, we got a couple of verses that they have no home until you guys tell us where they're located. So are you guys ready for the bloodhound of scripture?
Because I already know.
And the first one is, beware, it's a pepper trap.
All right.
So here we go.
Beware, it's a pepper trap.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Ooh, some good stuff for us to pay attention to. When the Spirit speaks unto the churches, we need to pay attention. So let us hear that bloodhound again.
He that hath an ear, let him
hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Amen. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Okay, anybody know where that one is supposed to be located?
I know where one of them is. I know where one of them is. I know where the other one is, too, but Matthew, I was in Troy the other day, so this going to be in 11, and it might be verses 15 and 16, but I think it's the other one.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Oh, no, it's not that one. It's not Matthew.
Don't go sniffing around places. You'll get the sneezes.
Anybody think they know where that verse is? Pastor Bonnet thinks he knows, but anyone else?
No, it's not in there.
Well, I was wrong. That was chapter trap. Because it says,
let me go through real quick. Anyone, or do, or are you going to give up and say you got pepper in your nose?
Well,
I
went against the salt. I went against the pepper one for the salt, but I don't think that's where it is either. Where I found the salt,
it's the other one. It's a Revelation.
Revelation and what?
3:20.
Wrong.
No.
Nope.
He who has it. Well, then, I know it's not Matthew's 11:15 because it says spirit. Matthew don't have the word spirit in it. So he that has it here, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's Revelation 3:20.
Yep, but it's also found in Revelation chapter 3 in another spot.
I think Pastor's going to get pepper up his nose today.
You all are going to be going to Bible Sunday, Bible Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You're all going to be going to summer school to get better acquainted with your Bible. Paid for by the Six Eyes Radio Network. You all will be going to summer school. All right.
Well,
that was
G.I.
Tower.
Yeah, go ahead.
Revelation 3 and 6.
I said, wait a minute.
Okay.
Isn't that also located in the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, if I'm not mistaken?
That's the 11th chapter, 15th verse. But it don't say spirit. It just says he that has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
Mentioned the word spirit.
Spirit, yes.
And he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
To the church, that's right.
So that's Revelation 3:6. And also Revelation 3,
and 20.
he that has an ear, let him hear what. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches.
That's right.
Yep. But we kind of got you on that by switching up on you and picking out a different verse than you thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, let him hear what the Spirit.
We got you, Dad.
Wait a minute, hold on. Let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. They're the same statement.
Yep.
In King James. So
exactly.
Because they're the same statement, we're right. I'm right. Because they're the
You're
same
right,
statement.
But it was not the verse that we chose.
But I'm right because it's the same word. I know it's much about it, the exact same word. It's just so important to God that he repeated it twice the exact same way.
We picked verse 6 just to trip you up.
Well, in that case, you all can enjoy your summer. You don't have to go to Bible Sunday school. No Bible Sunday school, summer school for you. So you guys are good.
All right. But here's the verse you got to sniff out by next Sunday. Here we go.
Sniff, sniff. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Okay, a little prophecy in this verse. And let's hear that a second time.
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel.
And if you notice in our bloodhound, it said that it was a virgin who would conceive.
Yep.
That's what the prophecy said. And we'll hear it one more time for our listeners.
We already know who that is.
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Amen.
Got it.
Time to get your sniffers ready for next week.
Now let me tell y'all where that is.
Amen.
You can find that in the book of...
Don't you do that.
In the book of the Bible. Between Genesis and Revelation.
We got that one already.
He said you can find that, and his phone went blank as if he was still talking.
Hey, Dad, do you know how I normally say it? When somebody asks me where certain scriptures are, just to be funny, I'll pop off and go, well, it's somewhere between the front and back covers and before the map.
You had to throw the maps in there.
Yeah, it's definitely between the front cover and the back cover.
And
if you start where it says Holy Bible and you end where the maps are, you'll find it.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
That's all right. That's a good one. One of the prophecies concerning the life of Christ, one of the many that he gave to that particular prophet.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a pleasure spending time with you all. And I'm going to get some rest and something to eat. I've been running since way early this morning, as most of you all know. This is my third service already, so I got other things I got to get done, and I need some rest. So tomorrow is a holiday.
Now let me ask you, Pastor. Now you can't take off if you like. There's no pressure.
Yeah.
Because I picture you putting on a I don't give a care shirt and just going to town eating.
I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I don't have to go. I'm not working. I'm not doing no lawn service.
You're off tomorrow. You're off tomorrow.
Well, if you're gonna play one of my reruns, we need to find the one from 2020 that says "Warning comes before destruction."
You gotta say that. Yes.
And wonderful topic. Great teaching. It was so. If you can find that. And if I need to narrow down the date for you, I can do that.
Let the station manager know that. She'll get that together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, just so that you can relay it to her, too. Warning comes before destruction. Matter of fact, I was getting ready to resound that message again. Because it's one of those messages that deal with the things that people think that are in the Bible. And that message, I started off, I say, you know, there's a lot of things that people say that are in the Bible, but it's really not in the Bible. And somebody said, well, warning comes before destruction. That's what the Bible say. No, the Bible does not say that, but it do teach us that.
Now, who said that?
There's no scripture. There's no scripture that says warning comes before destruction. But there is teaching throughout the Bible where God shows you warning does come before destruction. Uh-huh. And so that was that particular teaching on that topic.
Okay.
Because I did a couple series of things that people say in the Bible, but not in the Bible, but it's taught by the Bible.
Okay. Now I have a question. So a while back, unless I missed it, it was supposed to be you, supposed to have been Kenneth, supposed to have been Brother Quick, and supposed to have been Groover. Did you guys do that show yet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's been done, the tag team. Yeah, that was finished.
Where was I?
You was out of it, and we're gonna leave it. We're gonna leave that statement there.
I don't remember that one.
You missed it. It was a good message.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That was a couple of weeks ago, sir.
Three.
Amen.
Good everyone, and I was listening. And Pastor Bonnet, I would appreciate if you can kind of nail down
January.
A month?
January.
January 2020?
Uh-huh. It was probably the first one of January.
Okay. That's my favorite month.
Because it's your birthday.
Hey, yes. Amen.
Man, now you got... I don't even remember that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It was during a hard time for you, Six, so I'll put it that way.
Oh,
no, that was 2020, Sister Emily.
No, we must have been talking about when I was dealing with Mama, because otherwise I would remember that.
I'm missing the show yeah. A couple weeks ago. Yeah, he missed us. So what I'm going to need you to do is I'm going to need you to go to iHeartRadio and type in 6i Space Radio. And when it comes on your phone, it's going to take you to Motivational Monday with yours truly. And we want you to find one that was on a Thursday program.
Okay.
And so
okay.
we're going to want you to go to the Thursday program 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And you will find that show there on the on demand through the iHeart Radio.
Okay. And yes, and thank you.
Since you have the Apple phone, you know, I want you to tell Siri, Siri, I want iHeart Radio. And when it comes in there, your subject matter, say, Siri, type Six Eyes Radio.
Okay.
And when she finished doing all that, go through your prompts.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And you know what comes after Thursday? Friday. So you can also find AJ and the Squad on iHeartRadio as well. Yay, yay, yay. Clap, clap, clap.
Yeah, right, all right.
Yeah. And also, let's not forget the new Wednesday program where we have.
Wow, well, we're out of time now. Thank you. No, I'm just playing.
We got the new country Southern gospel music Wednesday night program now going.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Everybody's covered.
Amen. Amen.
Big brother, you are
the word
so
of the King
funny.
From Tuesday.
Say it again, Sister Emily.
I said, Big brother, you're so funny.
I'm no threat to Red Fox.
Yeah, but you're so funny, bro.
I don't want you to become my phone. Elizabeth, I'm coming, because we're going to try to find out who Elizabeth is and where she at.
But
you know he died like that for real.
That's what somebody was telling me.
He died behind. It was backstage. He was saying his chest was hurting, and they thought he was cutting up, and he died.
Wow.
Played for years, having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me spirits aren't transferable. But anyway, that's a whole nother matter. We ain't gonna get into it because I'm still in preach mode.
Well, no, come on out. I mean,
It's time to go.
I've been trying to get him.
I want me something to eat.
He won't do it.
I'm so hungry. I want me something to eat.
All right, now.
I'm so hungry. I want me something to eat. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand.
All right. Well, we're gonna get out of here once again. Want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. We're here each and every Sunday. 12 Central, 1 Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, Pacific, where you get your prayers in without leaving the house, the Six Eyes Gospel Show. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Enjoy and have a great Memorial Day weekend. And once again, we want to thank our veterans who have served, our
Amen.
Men and women who have served to
Amen.
Keep us safe.
Yeah.
It's because of our pilots we can have large gatherings without having any worries. So we just want to thank the men and women who protect and serve and keep our country safe. Once again, praying for the Robb Elementary families. There is 19 angels and 2 teachers in heaven. So they're all angels. We know that. We have a teacher on the line, Pastor Bonnie, you don't know this, but Ty Queen School, she's a teacher at a school in North Carolina where Mr.
All right.
Bojangles is.
I'm going to have to start checking my grammar down, make sure I'm using proper grammar.
Oh,
we
yeah.
got
I'm on
now.
You. I'm waiting.
Yeah. And hopefully she's not the one that pop your hands with the ruler.
I grew up with that.
It's not
I
for them.
Too, that hurts.
you haven't taken your medication today.
Say it again.
It's time for you to take your medication today.
No.
Yeah.
I don't like medicine.
Diarrhea of the mouth. Okay?
You know what?
We love you, but Pastor's been trying to go. Sir, with all due respect, you keep talking,
goodbye.
And we love you, but
everybody
it's time
get,
to go.
Everybody get the ATW. Everybody get off my phone. Good night. We'll see y'all next week.
Good night. Y'all tune in tomorrow night. Listen to that
really
program.
Really, man?
Don't say nothing else. Don't say nothing else. Everybody be quiet. Don't nobody say nothing. We're out of here.
Goodbye.
Have a great holiday. Love y'all.
Have a great holiday, everyone.
No, we can't talk.
Enjoy.
No.
We
You're
love you.
Too much. Yes.
Bless.
Be brave,
no.
Everyone.
No, don't talk.
All right. Go ahead, Missionary Ken, end the show. Thank you so much for joining, everyone.